Welcome back to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Harry, aka FPL Harry.
And I'm Oscar, known as FPL Focal.
It was another big week of FPL. Everyone thought that Isaac was going to be the one to miss out. Everyone thought that João Pedro was going to be back. Diogo Jota versus Diaz raged on, along with the big Mo Salah debate. Today, we'll have a look at some of those games that we've gone through during game week 5. Oscar, how did you get on?
It was a pretty good week, actually. Yeah, 69 points for me, which was a green arrow. Henderson finally came good with a 9-pointer. Trent finally came good, got an attack in return. Obviously, clean sheet and bonus. I had Smith and Rodgers that did pretty well, 8 and 10 points for them. I captained Salah, who just got the assist. That could have been more there. But yeah, I mean, it's a great week to be on here, actually, not just because of all the action from the weekend, but I've activated my wild card as well. So lots to discuss. But yeah, the only real disappointment for me was I had Konsa on my bench who didn't get auto subbed on. Obviously, he scored. I saw you were a bit more fortunate, Harry, with your auto subs. How did you get on?
Yeah, so I had Diogo Jota in my starting lineup with Smith Rowe sat first on my bench. So lucky to get some auto sub points this week. Last week, I was unfortunate to leave that Gabriel 15-pointer sat second on my bench last week. So it was nice to have a little bit of the rough of the green this week and getting a few of those extra points. The Rodgers 10-pointer felt like the real sweet one this week, right? It's been a long time coming, both him and Henderson being big disappointments for the start of the season. And finally, they both come in with some points. And then the big thing for me, I think, was I went with Chris Wood for the start of the season. And out of nowhere, he decided to step up and take that Nottingham Forest penalty, which is not something I expected or why I bought him, but it's definitely a boost for him going forward.
It's such an awful feeling, isn't it, when you've got a return on your bench and someone in your starting 11 isn't starting and you're just kind of watching the game as it goes on, you know, kind of praying, please don't bring him on, please don't bring him on. But yeah, obviously Jota wasn't involved. In my case, it was João Pedro, who was obviously benched for Brighton. So I was watching the game thinking, please don't bring him on. But yeah, I mean, we'll talk about all the games game by game. And in the end, he did come on, so he blocked that concert hall for me. But it is what it is. I'm happy overall. And the wildcard's active, as I say.
Yeah, I mean, there's no better game to start with than that Super Sunday, Manchester City 2, Arsenal 2. As an Arsenal fan, I'll let you have the floor a little bit to go and talk about it. But I think the headline will be Gabriel again from an FPL point of view. That's 3 clean sheets and 2 goals for him in the opening 5 games. A few of us decided to avoid the Arsenal defence going into the start of the season because the fixtures maybe weren't quite as smooth sailing as we'd want them to be. But I think both him and Raya in particular have shown that they can perform in pretty much any fixture that they've got. Going forward, Saka picked up an assist, but then was taken off at halftime. And then, of course, Erling Haaland does the business as well. How do you feel about that game? Of course, on wildcard, you must be looking at the next few fixtures for Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, as an Arsenal fan, it was such a stressful watch. Gabriel, he scored 16 Premier League goals, right? 14 have been off a corner. It's just unbelievable how good he is. So yeah, he's one of the first names in my wildcard team for sure. Saka got the assist, obviously, off that corner, which was great. I had him as well, but he did have to come off at halftime due to the Trossard red card, 2 yellows for Trossard. Yeah, it was really annoying that because it could have been such a brilliant game. And it was, to be fair, like really entertaining, but it could have been a very different game. It kind of changed the complexity of the game completely there. And they had to kind of park the bus. You know, the formation at times was like 5-4, you know, 6-3 or something like that. So, yeah, it is what it is. Haaland, obviously, another goal. So what's that, 10-5 for Haaland?
Yeah.
I think if you're wildcard, he's also got to be like the first name if you haven't started the season with him. Lewis benched. So that was kind of a surprise, but kind of not. I'm still tempted by him on the wild card. I'm interested to get your thoughts. I just wonder if, when you look at City's upcoming fixtures, they've got some, on paper, much easier games. Newcastle next might not be, you never know, but after that, it's such a good run of games. I wonder if Lewis is the sort of player that Pep's going to prefer to break down those defences as opposed to Walker, who offers something very different. I mean, what do you think about Lewis?
Yeah, Walker, I don't think it was that much of a surprise that Walker got the Arsenal game at the weekend, but I don't think it was his best game from an attacking point of view. And I think what we saw from Lewis actually late on in games where he's able to break teams down, that actually in those later stages of that game against Arsenal, they probably could have done with Rico Lewis being on the pitch over Kyle Walker. And maybe when they go into these easier games, and I'm not sure Newcastle at the moment is a fixture you should particularly fear from that point of view either. I do think we will see more minutes from Lewis. I mean, I think it's highlighted that there is a risk there, right? You're going to go into every week wondering when the Manchester City lineup is going to come out, whether it's going to be Lewis or whether it's going to be Kyle Walker. You could look at someone like Guardiola as well. So we saw him start and he was playing very advanced going into that Arsenal game, but that was because we saw Kyle Walker playing at right back. We've seen this dynamic early on in the season that when it's Guardiola and Lewis, Guardiola has a slightly reserved role, unlike what we saw at the end of last season, and it's Lewis getting far forward. So Guardiola feels like the safe one. Akanji plays a lot of minutes. You could, of course, look at Ederson, but as FPL managers, we know how we feel about punting on him at times in FPL. So Lewis feels like he's cheap enough that you could take that risk. But if you're someone who doesn't like a lot of minutes risks in your teams, he's probably not the one, because with Champions League every week, you're still going to run that risk, I feel.
Yeah. If I pick Lewis, he's going to be the only minutes risk in my team, basically. And yeah, I agree. I think Vardy's the safest one. But obviously, yeah, the Ake injury perhaps means, on the one hand, you think, oh, he's more nailed. But on the other hand, maybe he has to manage Vardy. And he played, I think he was benched in game week four, wasn't he? And he came on at half time.
Yeah, so it happened in the Champions League, I think, before game week four. And then the first game afterwards, where we all thought Vardy was going to be more nailed, was the first game that he decided to miss out on. So I don't necessarily, as you say, it might be a minutes management thing that he can't just play him three times a week. Moving back to Arsenal, I think going into those fixtures that they've got, the attack is really interesting. But of course, no Martin Odegaard for you at the moment. How are you feeling about someone like Kai Havertz? Because of course, he's a big money saver on someone like Bukayo Saka. Saka feels like the obvious one. He plays the minutes most of the time. He's on a lot of set pieces. His goal threat is very good. Havertz is great when he's playing up front, but we're seeing a slightly reserved role from him at the moment, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's two ways I'll go on the wild card. What's for sure is I'll have triple Arsenal, but it's whether I go double defence and Saka, or I go one defender, whether that's Gabriel or Raya, and then Saka and Havertz. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, he's playing a slightly deeper role. Trossard obviously got the red as well, so next match it could be Jesus up top and Havertz sort of in the Odegaard role. So
yeah.
I think given that the defence is cheaper than Havertz, I think I'll go double Arsenal defence, but I don't hate the Havertz pick at all. I mean, he's a great player. The other defender, Timber, he's been starting games.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if he's an option for 5.5 mil. I'll tell you what I think in a sec. What do you think about Timber as an option?
For me, he still falls into that slight minutes risk category. I know he played against Manchester City, but Ben White missed out, which did feel like a little bit of a surprise. So we would expect Ben White to play the majority of games, how good he's been for you, which does mean at left back, it is Calafiori versus Timber. And when you've got Champions League, when you've got League Cup and FA Cup alongside the Premier League, which you do have a lot of fixtures at the moment, it does just concern me given the injury record that we know that Timber has. And I know that Arteta will do his best when he's got depth in the likes of Calafiori. You've also got someone like Zinchenko who can fill in there.
Yeah.
It just feels like this is the busiest part of the season. Then we'll get into Christmas as well. That I just, when you've got a Gabriel, when you've got a Saliba or even a David Raya, it just feels much safer to me.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It is cheaper, but I think that's for a reason. As you say, he's got options in left back. And White reportedly had a knock, I believe. So that was the reason that he came in at right back, Calafiori left back. So yeah, there's just too many options there. So yeah, I'm not considering it. For me, it's Gabriel, Saliba or Raya, if you want a defender. Do you remember last season, Arsenal had Sheffield United home, which on paper looked like, with the greatest respect to Sheffield United, a routine win. And I remember Gabriel got benched for that one because it was during the busy schedule, their Champions League international break and so on. I'm slightly worried that we could see that happen again in the next two, given it's what, Southampton and Leicester back to back. But I think I'll take that risk on, and you know, he'll either play 90 or not at all. So I think it's not one to overthink.
Yeah, my only thought on that is he seems like he's going to score enough goals that even if he plays one or two less games over a 20-game week period than someone like a Saliba, someone like a Timber or going to a Guardiola, I expect him to score more goals than most of these defenders. So you might lose out on a clean sheet in one of those games, but you're going to get a 15-pointer in another game because he's gone and scored and kept a clean sheet and mopped up all the bonus points as well. And it's not like the goal he scored against Manchester City was his only chance in the game. About 4 or 5 minutes earlier, he had exactly the same chance, which he put just over the bar, and he could have scored twice in that game. So despite maybe being very slightly less nailed than Saliba, for me, he's definitely the better pick just because he misses one clean sheet, he scores and he makes up for it, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. So that's my team. Let's look at your team, Chelsea.
I always come on this pod and it's always Chelsea losing or me having a bad week of FPL. It feels like a very surreal experience to be here with a green arrow and a Chelsea win as well. It was a good way to start the weekend, a Chelsea 3-0 win. I think most of the headlines will be looking at Chelsea, and if you're on wildcard as well. Nicholas Jackson coming in with two goals and an assist. Again, continuing his very strong start, well, to life in the Premier League, but also a very strong start to this FPL campaign as well. Cole Palmer is the one that I actually want to start with. Interesting, he got his goal, but then it was a 65th minute sub, and we saw the manager mentioning that he has two players who play on the left wing, he has two players who play on the right, two central attacking midfielders and two strikers. And we started to wonder if that would mean, well, does that mean that João Félix is going to come on for Cole Palmer, and maybe Cole Palmer's 90-minute appeal might not be there quite as much? And that's what we saw in this game. I still think he's a great asset, and maybe without Sterling there, penalties might go down a little bit. But I do think that Palmer at 10.5, if you're not getting 90 minutes out of him, it must reduce his appeal comparing to someone like Saka. Do you have any attention to Chelsea assets at all on your wildcard? Or is it just, it feels like Jackson is there at 7.5.
I actually have got Palmer in my current draft, but it might just be for the next 2 weeks and then I'll look to sell him. Because I've got a couple of roll transfers I'm taking into the wildcard. So the hope is to roll further after that. So
yeah,
I could take Palmer back out. But yeah, I was a bit surprised to see him come off early. And he looked surprised as well. You know, he kind of pointed at himself like me. So I'm not sure what was going on there. A little bit worried to see him off early. But I mean, I've got two home games next. So it's very tempting to just get him for the next two. And then I could swap him out for someone like Foden or Salah. Jackson's brace was the quickest by a Chelsea player since Drogba in 2005.
Wow.
So he's really going under the radar, Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of open play goals since the start of last season, he's got more than Isak, Salah, Palmer, Solanke and Havertz. So he is going under the radar. It's kind of tricky, isn't it? There's mid-price forwards. There's so many options there. Like there's also Watkins, there's Solanke, there's Havertz. It's difficult to pin down which one. I'm actually on Solanke at the moment. We'll talk about Spurs in a minute. But yeah, I think it'll just be Palmer for me. Maybe Colwell as well. I mean, what do you think about Colwell?
Yeah, so that's we had, I think, 17 games, away games without a clean sheet, and then that's two back-to-back. We do start to look quite good and start to dominate a couple of games. I do think the Bournemouth one last week, we were quite fortunate. Of course, there was the penalty saved. This week, it felt a little bit more like reasonable that we decided to, well, that we kept a clean sheet. I still think looking at the fixtures over the next 5 or 6 weeks, I'm not certain I would go there. The next two are quite nice. They've got Brighton at home and Forest at home. Although when we go to talk about those games, they definitely don't feel like routine clean sheets for the Chelsea defense, given the way Brighton and Nottingham Forest are both playing at the moment. So I probably wouldn't. Plus, when you have other defenders at a similar price, maybe offering a little bit more attacking threat, we don't offer that much from set pieces, from corners, maybe compared to when you look at someone like an Arsenal who are scoring for them every week at the moment. So I'm not sure I would go there, and I'm not sure I necessarily trust us defensively at the moment. If you could rotate them in and around another defender, like a Mazraoui of Manchester United, who looks like a fantastic option in and out round of that price, then maybe go for it. But I think some of the next fixtures are not quite what I'd want them to be, and it would need to be part of a rotation, I think.
Yeah, that's how it'd be if I do get him. He'd have to be part of a rotation just to see me through the next two game weeks. But yeah, he's tempting me because he's 4.5 mil. I think you've got two clean sheets on the bounce. So yeah, he's an interesting option. But yeah, I don't think I'll have Jackson despite his form. I actually think it might be Solanke. I mean, should we talk about Spurs next?
Because there's quite a lot
to unpack from that one. I mean, Solanke first. I mean, he caught my eye. I mean, his numbers leap off the page. He had four of their seven big chances. He took four shots in the box, 1.61 expected goals. So on a wild card, I'm actually looking at Solanke as my forward pick alongside Haaland, and then probably a budget pick like Wood. But yeah, Spurs, I mean, a dominant comeback. Mbeumo got a goal in the first minute. He's also one of the first names in my wild card. Spurs, 3.52 expected goals was the highest of game week five as well. They took 23 shots, 15 chances created, seven big chances. So, I mean, any Spurs players tempting you at the moment?
Yeah, I think, of course, Solanke getting his first Spurs goal has got to be one that's on radar. Their fixtures now look really nice for about the next 5 or 10 game weeks. So, as I say, when you compare him to Jackson, maybe Jackson is nice for the next couple of games, but it feels like Solanke, if you don't want to end up using transfers, might be a slightly safer, longer-term pick. I actually think the other one that I'm really interested in is James Maddison. We know from last season that when he is firing and he is playing well, that it massively changes how that Spurs team are able to play. We saw it for the first half of the season last year, and then when he picked up his injury, they definitely dropped off, and we're seeing it again at the start of this season. What's crazy for me is Maddison is actually second in the league for expected goal involvement so far this season, only behind that of Erling Haaland, of course, with 6 expected goal involvements. Maddison in there with 4.29. That is above all of the likes of Salah, Jackson, that we've mentioned, Watkins, Diaz. You've got Mbeumo in there, above Saka, Eze, above all of these popular picks. James Maddison at 7.5 is coming in as second, of course, above all his teammates in Son and Solanke as well. I do think the forward line, when you could go with someone like a Jackson, is quite congested. But when I've tried to build drafts and looking at midfielders, I find it slightly more difficult. So that might mean that there might be space for James Maddison in there with the way that he's starting the season. Of course, a goal and an assist for him. It could have been 2 goals as well. The Solanke goal was from a saved shot from James Maddison as well. So he is definitely finding his feet, finding rhythm, and it's definitely helping Spurs. So I think I would have a Spurs attacker if I'm looking on wildcard, but even if not, I was massively impressed with the way they played in this game. And the chances, as you say, over 3 expected goals in this game is a really good return. And with the run of fixtures they've got, it feels like Maddison and Solanke are the ones to go with. Son just doesn't look on radar for 10 million at the moment.
Yeah, agree with that. What I will caveat that with is a massive portion of Madison's expected goal involvement came from that one game, exactly 2.0 XGI, which was actually the highest of Game Week 6. But yeah, good fixtures on the horizon. So yeah, I think there's some good options for Spurs. But yeah, I agree with Son. Pedro Porro's been disappointing. I had him and he's probably going to leave my team on the wildcard. I don't know if you saw, but in this post-match interview, Madden was saying his mum sent him a message and told him off because after he scored his goal, he took his shirt off and his mum had him in her FPL team, of course, which was minus 1 point, taking his shirt off. I love that.
Yeah, I like that as well. I think the Maddison Kulusevski dynamic that they're playing in this Spurs team at the moment is really interesting. It is definitely hindering Pedro Porro quite a lot because they've got 2 sort of number 8s in that team, which doesn't give Pedro Porro the space effectively to go and play that, right? When they played with 2 defensive midfielders, Pedro Porro would basically go and play as one of those number 8s. But while they're playing Maddison and Kulusevski, it definitely hampers his appeal quite a lot. I've got him and I don't plan on playing my wild card this week. And I think he's one of those that he's fine to hold. And I don't think you should be rushing to go and moving him out of your team. But if you were on wild card, I do think what we saw in the first couple of games is going to diminish a little bit based on what we've seen. To talk a little bit about Brentford, Brian Mbeumo, of course, is going to be the one that takes all the headlines. Scoring again, he's had a fantastic start to the season. He's going to be the main man, it feels like, without Ivan Toney. And then, of course, with Johan Visa picking up that injury as well, they're going to rely a lot on him for goals. Outside of him, are there any players in this Brentford team that appeal to you? There are quite a lot of nice cheap options, I think.
Yeah, I was looking at Sharda and I was hoping he'd get a start because he's 5.4 mil. I wondered if we might see him up top as he was in the League Cup. But yeah, he wasn't in the starting 11. So not really, to be honest with you. I think it's just Mbeumo. And then if there's anyone else that makes it on the wild card, it'll be a defensive asset because they've got nice long-term fixtures. You could go Fleck and Valdemarsson. So you've got a guaranteed keeper for the cheapest possible price there. Van der Berg started. He's 4 mil, but I'm still not sure on him. That is 2 starts in a row for him now, but I just wonder if his spot in the team is going to be reliant on Brentford playing a back 3 rather than back 4. They use both formations. And when it's a back 4, I just wonder if it was going to be Collins and Pinnock. When it's a back 3, Van der Berg starts. So I don't think I'll have him on the wildcard. I think there's probably better 4-mil defenders like Greaves. Mosquera probably would have been in as well, but he obviously went off injured in that Villa game. Maybe we talk about that one next.
Yeah.
It looked like a bad one, so I fear he might be out long-term, Mosquera.
Yeah, just on Brentford, it feels like defensively there would be some quite nice options. As you say, if I didn't go Raya, I think Raya is the top goalkeeper at the moment. Flecken is probably the best cheap option that you could be looking at, so I do like that as a shout. Yeah, the finding the centre-backs that are going to start when they're playing a back 4, it feels like it'd be really useful to be wildcarding in game week 7 because you'd most likely see that team sheet. It does feel like Van der Berg might be the long-term project. They play decent money for him from Liverpool, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be happening happening right away. I just want to give a quick shout out to Carvalho, who's come in, of course, from Liverpool. He started, of course, he played in the Cup, and I think he got a goal and two assists, or two goals and an assist. He's 4.8 million, and he then started this game as well. If you're looking for a cheap option that you don't want to play, you've got a little money in the bank, you've got a 4.5 like a Winks, and you're trying to upgrade. For their run of fixtures, I feel like he's definitely in with a shout, especially given that Kevin Sharde, the one we thought it would be, didn't start at the weekend.
Yeah, fair point. Interesting one for 4.8 mil. Is he worth it over Rodgers, though? Let's talk about Villa, because Rodgers, two assists, and obviously he moved up to three bonus last night as well. So I think he got 10 points in the end. That was a massive relief, because he's one of those that's really passed the eye test. His underlying numbers haven't been too bad. Like, he'd created some big chances for Watkins they hadn't buried. Yeah, and he finally came good. So I was delighted about that. Duran, another goal off the bench for him. I mean, that's 9 goals in 719 minutes, which is absurd. Now, only Haaland's got a better minutes per goal average in Premier League history, as far as players that have scored at least 2 goals, which is also crazy, by the way, given that Haaland's starting every game. Obviously, Watkins' goal as well. What did you make of the game?
Yeah, I mean, Aston Villa, I think, started quite slowly in this game, as they have actually done over the past couple of weeks. But I think Unai Emery massively changed the game with the substitutes he made from a footballing point of view. I think he made 4 substitutions in the first 15 minutes of the second half. And after that, they went and scored 3 goals. So yeah, massively impressed with them. The Duran thing is, I'm finding really difficult. He continues to score off the bench, but surely eventually goals off the bench is going to be something that's going to dry up. But if he's going to continue to do this, he's got to be someone that's on radar. I can't pick him over someone like a Calvert-Lewin, a Vardy, or a Chris Wood, who are going to play, 80, 90 minutes pretty much every week. But when you're playing in that Aston Villa team, you then come on against high defences, and you've got someone like a Rodgers, like a Bailey, like a Luca Dean creating chances for you. He has to be someone that we look at. It was always going to happen that Ollie Watkins, the first, I think, 3 games, he didn't score. And it was going to get to a point where he needed something to go in, and then the floodgates were going to open, and we were going to see Ollie Watkins return. And we're seeing him suddenly play with an awful lot of confidence. We saw it again in the Champions League, where he did have one ruled out. Ipswich away, United at home, Fulham away, Bournemouth at home in the next 4. I've been really impressed with him, and it does feel like he is absolutely got to be one for that premium spot alongside Haaland if you are looking on wildcard. But Morgan Rodgers, it was finally time for him to pick up some returns. As you say,
long overdue.
Finally passed the eye test for the whole start of the season, was arguably Aston Villa's best player. He was getting so many sort of compliments about the way he played and just didn't get the returns. And then finally, 2 assists and a 3 lot of bonus points to go with it as well. The fixtures are good for the next few, and I do think at that price, he probably is still the best option. On your wildcard, are you looking at double up on Villa? Any defensive options? Because they do seem to look good defensively, but then always just leak one goal or so, which feels similar to what we do when we buy Manchester City defenders as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, their underlying defensive numbers have been solid, but yeah, I think it's just going to be Rodgers, on the wildcard. I'd love to have Watkins, but I'm not sure if he's worth all the extra money over Solanke. I think that extra 1.4 mil or whatever it is goes a long way. But yeah, maybe that could be a mistake, because as you say, they've got Ipswich next as well. I probably won't have Konsa. I don't think I'll have Martinez. So I think it's probably just going to be Rodgers on the wild card. Yeah, I agree on Duran. Like, I'd much rather have someone that's going to play 80 plus minutes, like a Calvert-Lewin, a Wood. He can't keep scoring in like 10 to 15 minutes. I mean, I've
surely
said that
not
a few weeks ago, and he's kept doing it. But
yeah.
I mean, mathematically, or from a probability perspective, you're likely to score if you're playing 4 times the minutes or whatever these guys are getting relative to Duran. So, yeah, he's not in my thinking personally. I mean, like, if Watkins got injured at some point this season, he becomes one of the best forwards in the game. But yeah, he's not really an option for me. Cunha, 6.5 mil, he got a goal.
Yeah, I was going to mention him.
Yeah, Diego Carlos came in at right centre back, which meant Konsa went to right back. And it was a mistake from Carlos. He played a poor ball out from the back, and I think it was Cunha that just latched straight onto it and slotted it bottom corner. So I mean, their fixtures are slowly starting to turn, and that's why I was strongly looking at Mosquera. But yeah, it was a challenge from Rodgers on Mosquera, and it looked really grim. I think he might have done his knee ligaments potentially, so he could be out for a while, which is horrible. So I think that's probably going to rule him out as an option, and it could even weaken the Wolves defense, because he'd been on loan last season. He'd come back. He looked brilliant. So yeah, he'll be a big loss as well. I'm not sure who comes in for him. Maybe Toti for 4.4 mil, but yeah, I don't think I'll look at the Wolves defence unless it was 4 mil.
Yeah, I suppose I like Kilman. I think when you look at their short-term fixtures, they've got Liverpool and Manchester City, but long-term it does look quite nice. And Cunha was good for us at times last season. It's a shame for me, he's that 0.5 more expensive over the likes of Calvert-Lewin, over the likes of Chris Wood. If he'd have come in at 6 million at the same price, it would have been a really interesting conversation for us to be having. I think the other one that is always on FPL radars is Ryan Aitnori. He had a really good chance in the first half against Aston Villa to make it 2-0, which was just blocked by Carlos, I think it was. We know how far forward he can get. If they aren't adding clean sheets to their repertoire, then it is difficult for us to be going and buying him. But we definitely saw at times last year that at 4.5, he was worth looking at. And when they go on a nice run, with the attacking threat he has, he takes some set pieces as well. He's got to be one that we look at, but with the defensive frailties we're seeing from Wolves at the moment, it might not be the right time. It might not be quite like last year, I think. But he's one that I've got maybe a small eye on, I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, another team that's been pretty poor defensively is Newcastle. Mm. Fulham were just way too much for them to handle. Fulham 3, Newcastle 1. Smith Rowe goal. Obviously, you had him off your bench. I started him. 3 returns in 5 for Smith Rowe, and obviously they're away at Forest next. Nuno got a red card, by the way, in that Forest game, and so did Hrzela. So yeah, I think Brighton are away at Chelsea next week, and they're going to be about Hrzela. And obviously Fulham play against Forest, and Forest about Nuno, who got a red card. But Fulham took 22 shots. 18 of those were inside the box. 5 big chances created. Jimenez with another goal. So yeah, Muniz is dead as an option really now, although he did get an assist off the bench, but it's Jimenez's spot to lose, isn't it? Hall and Livramento are both bench, but yeah, I think overall Newcastle players have got to be sells. What do you think?
Yeah, it feels like a real tale of two halves with a great performance from Fulham and a questionable start, it feels like, a little bit for Newcastle. Fulham's fixtures are starting to look a little bit less good as maybe they have been. They have a good fixture, well, an okay fixture away at Forest, then it is Manchester City, and then they've got Aston Villa, I think, in there. So the fixtures for Fulham are not quite as nice, but as you say, Raul Jimenez is a very affordable option. I think he's coming in about 5.5 million now. Smith Rowe continues to be good in front of goal, and Fulham just look really good. Yes, you don't want players with bad fixtures, but if you are buying players who are playing for a team who are looking free-flowing, that front four with Iwobi, Traore, you've got Nelson coming off the bench, you've got Smith Rowe, you've got Jimenez, then you've got Muniz coming off the bench as well. Does look like a team that really want to score goals. I've got a couple of them in my team and I don't feel like I have priority selling them, but I am looking at their fixtures and thinking maybe there are other options elsewhere. I do think Newcastle is an interesting one. They definitely haven't started as well as we thought they would. A lot of us went Alexander Isak at the beginning of the season, and their attack just hasn't been nearly as potent as we thought it would. And I think the other one that's been a big disappointment for people is Anthony Gordon, right? Had a fantastic season last year, was one of the standout players at a cheap price last year, and just isn't finding the back of the net nearly as much. And it was actually Harvey Barnes and Jacob Murphy, the slight understudies, you might say, to Anthony Gordon that got the goal and the assist. So talk to me about how you're feeling on wildcard about both Fulham, despite their fixtures, but also probably no Newcastle, I imagine.
Yeah, no Newcastle. No Fulham either, actually, in my current draft. At the moment, I've got Raya in goal, and I've got Gabriel, Collins, Greaves, Colwell, and Mikalenko in my defence, but I'm not sure. It feels like a weak defence, but I've got Rodgers, Bumo, Semenyo, Palmer, and Saka in midfield, so I've got two premiums there, and then I've got Solanke, Haaland, and Wood up top. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at the moment. Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, I like Wood because he rotates perfectly with Semenyo, who I think is an awesome pick, but he does have difficult fixtures in a few weeks' time. So that's the thinking there. But yeah, no Fulham, no Newcastle. It's not a bad fixture next. Like, I think you can afford to give them the Forest game, but then after that, it is City away. Then it's Villa home. Then it's Everton away. I mean, Everton are going to have players returning from injury. They could look better by them. But then the fixtures aren't too bad again from, you know, game week 9-10. But yeah, I don't think I'd be buying. I don't think I'd be selling either this week. Maybe in game week 7, I'd look to sell them. But I'm just on Isak as well. I have to give credit to FPR. I think they've priced the players masterfully this year. I think they've pretty much got it all bang on. Maybe Haaland could have been 16 mil. But the one player at the start of the season, do you remember everyone said, oh, Isak, they've got wrong. He's way too cheap. But even that's been bang on. Or if anything, too expensive in terms of how he started. So yeah, credit to them for that. It's been a difficult season. You can't fit all these premiums in, whereas last season, you know, Foden was cheaper, Saka was cheaper, Palmer was 5 million. But this season, you really got to make some difficult decisions, which I love personally.
Yeah, they've done a really good job with the pricing, absolutely. And one of the, well, two teams that actually offer very nice, affordable options if you are trying to afford all of these big players. Let's go to Brighton Forest. You've mentioned Chris Wood quite a few times, and I think he's going to suddenly be popular now because of the added sort of appeal that he's got with being their penalty taker, which we saw at the weekend. We actually saw Gibbs White, who we thought would be their penalty taker. He was almost celebrating that goal before it even hit the back of the net. He obviously has confidence in Chris Wood now that he's handed them over, which I thought was quite interesting to see. The Forest have been very good defensively so far this season. They did concede two to a very good Brighton side, but they've got some nice cheap options in the likes of Aina, Milenkovic, Murillo and Alex Moreno, all in at cheap prices as well. Plus you've got Brighton. João Pedro hasn't started the past couple of games, but he looks like he came back to full fitness. He did create some chances. I suppose the only thing is the Brighton fixtures don't look quite as appealing as maybe we've seen over the past couple of games. I've got João Pedro, and as I said, I'm not on wildcard. I don't have the sort of big desire to sell him. I think he's fine to play in most games because I think Brighton will score against most forwards, but it does feel like Chris Wood out of this fixture will take the headlines probably.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, I mean, João Pedro, it was frustrating to see him bench, but he was coming back from an injury. And I still think he's, you know, maybe their best player or one of the best. So I don't think he's a rotation risk. They were just kind of managing him carefully on his return from injury. But yeah, we thought it'd be Gibbs White on penalties, and it was Wood that took it and he scored it. So I think that's huge. A player that's on penalties, you know, is a massive factor because that's another route to points for them.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had Gibbs White, it must have been a very, very frustrating watch. Not just that penalty, but of course, he went on to get second yellow card, so he's suspended for the next game as well. But yeah, I've been really impressed by Forest's defence. After five game weeks, 4.05 expected goals conceded, which is third best in the league, as is eight big chances conceded. And so, yeah, we talked about Wood, but also look at the defenders. Like you mentioned, Aina. Their next five are Fulham home, Chelsea away, you don't really want to start him for that one. But then it's Crystal Palace home, Leicester away, West Ham home. So I think there's a lot of value in the defence there. Sales worth a mention as well in goal. I did look at Alex Moreno, who's 4.4 mil, but he came off at half time. So I think it's Aina or maybe Milenkovic, maybe Murillo, if I was going to go there.
Yeah, I've been really impressed with Milenkovic so far this season. He feels a little bit like a mini version of Gabriel in terms of an FPL output. I think he's the highest expected goals out of all those Forest defenders. He's going to get chances from corners as well, which they look to be creating a few more from this season as well. So actually, I wonder if I take the punt there, just because when they have a lot of fixture pile up when we get to Christmas or something like that, they do have Neco Williams, they do have Alex Moreno, they do have Ollar Aina, they do have Toffolo as well. They have lots of fullback options who might be getting minutes, whereas we'd expect Milenkovic and the centre-backs or even Murillo to play a lot of games over that period. And he does feel like he's got a goal from him from a corner as well. I think he's 6'5". So he's probably the one I'd actually look at as a potential bit of a differential and maybe as a slightly safer route into that Nottingham Forest defence as well. The midfielders we thought were good options at the start of the season in Hudson-Odoi and Alanga don't feel like they're quite coming to the fore as much. And actually the cheaper midfielders at Brighton in Mitoma and Minte aren't quite firing as much as we thought they would at the moment. So it does feel like, yeah, as I say, maybe Chris Wood is the taking the headlines from this, but I wouldn't look past that Nottingham Forest defence over that next five game week run that you mentioned.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the budget mids, we talked about Smith Rowe, 5.8 mil. We talked about Rodgers, 5.2 mil. Carvalho, 4.8 mil. Now, is there anyone cheaper? I've got one name. Southampton 1, Ipswich 1, Dibbling. Yeah.
4.5 mil.
Yeah. Well taken goal. He's only 4.5 mil. He looked class against Man United as well the week before. Their most dangerous player. 0.92 expected goal involvement against Ipswich. So is he better than Winks? He's obviously the other 4.5 mil, the more popular 4.5 mil pick. Would you go Dibbling over Winks if you had to get one?
Yeah, if I was looking at a 4.5 million option, I needed to save money now. Dibbling would be in as hands down the best option. The first 3 weeks, he didn't start the season. And I think there was a little bit of concern about, well, he doesn't feel nailed. Against Manchester United, he, of course, won the penalty and looked absolutely fantastic. One of their best players, of course, again, in this game. He scores and gets three bonus as well. And again, just looks like one of their best attacking threats in this team. We've all been focusing on Armstrong, on Archer, on Ben Brereton Diaz. And it's actually a 4.5 million option that's writing the headlines. If you had Harwood Bellis in your team, then you'd be unlucky to get this late clean sheet wipeout if you did decide to start him at home to Ipswich.
A low scoring minute.
Yeah.
Brutal.
I mean, actually, Dibbling decided to lock in the clean sheet point, which is why he got such a big haul this week. Ipswich defenders at 4.0 are popular. I think a lot of people on wildcard are looking at Greaves. Do you think he's the safest option at 4.0? Or do you look at someone like a Leif Davis at 4.5 that might be actually offering a little bit more going forward? Or do you just think you go for the 4 million in Greaves?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually, because Leif Davis, last season, he got something like...
I think he got over 18 assists
in the championship. So. Obviously, I wouldn't expect him to replicate nearly that much in the Premier League, but yeah, he's a very interesting option because he's on set pieces and corners. But yeah, he is 0.5 mil more than Greaves. I think I prefer Greaves just about, but they are worth looking at because it's Villa home next. That's not great. West Ham away, Everton home, Brentford away, Leicester home. So there's two or three games in there where you wouldn't feel too uncomfortable starting him if it came to it. So, yeah, before the season, he was my favourite of the formal defenders, and I think he still is, to be honest. But
yeah,
we're kind of spoiled for choice this season with formal defenders. There's lots of others as well.
Yeah, I suppose what I'd say is I feel like Ipswich feel reasonably strong defensively. If they kept, you know, between 7 and 10 clean sheets so far over the season, and Leif Davis added 7 or 10 attacking returns on top of that, maybe that's slightly inflated. But that would be... you know, somewhere between 15 and 20 returns for a 4.5 defender over the course of the season. It would definitely be a return that would be reasonable enough to go and have a look at. So I do think if you're just going for a 4 million as your fifth defender, Greaves offers an option. I would go with him over Harwood Bellis. But I do think that Leif Davis has absolutely got to be the one on radar.
Yeah.
One final game that I think has a massive impact to look at before we talk about your wild card, maybe in a little bit more detail. It's going to be Liverpool 3, Bournemouth 0. It does feel like a lot of people on wildcard this week are going to be taking out Liverpool assets. Now, we'll talk about who's in your team at the moment, but it's actually Luis Diaz that seems to be writing the headlines for Liverpool at the moment. He's up to 7.9 million. Trent also got an assist, and luckily they had a clean sheet wipeout reimbursed from a VAR call for an offside. Trent with the assist and a big return. Luis Diaz with 2 goals. Salah with just an assist. And of course, Diogo Jota on the bench. But Darwin did get a goal. Konate is nice and cheap. He also got an assist. I think he's just 5.1 million now. Are you looking at any Liverpool on your wildcard? It does feel like their fixtures turn a little bit for the worse over the next few weeks comparing to someone like an Arsenal who might have similar price bracket players. But they are definitely scoring goals. They're keeping clean sheets. And they look like they want to beat comfortably whoever they're playing against at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's risky, isn't it, selling Salah when he's about to play Wolves, but he won't make my wildcard draft. I'm not sure if Diaz will, but maybe that's a mistake. Diaz is on 51 points now. He's actually more than Salah, who's on 49. I think the only one who might make my final wildcard is Trent, who's top among all defenders for expected goal involvement. But other than that, I think I might take the chance on selling. But yeah, there was lots to take away from the game. Like, Liverpool deserve the winners, but I think the scoreline flattered them a bit. I was actually really impressed by Bournemouth. They kept chipping away. And I did feel very fortunate to come away with a clean sheet. And obviously, as a Trent, only the assist and the bonus for an 11-pointer. Bournemouth took 19 shots that game, which is huge away at Anfield. 12 shots in the box. Yeah, Semenyo, the heart of their attack. I think I'll have him on my wild card because they've got Southampton home, Leicester away. But yeah, it's all about Diaz again with the brace and Jota benched, uninvolved at all. And of course, no Alisson either. That was a hamstring injury. So we'll have to see what the severity of that is. I mean, if he's out long term, I might end up with Kelleher. I remember he was an option last season, was it, when he was 4 mil.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't go there unless it was a long-term injury for Alisson, which I suspect it won't be. I mean, if you were a wild card this week, Harry, would you have any Liverpool players?
I think I'd find space for Luis Diaz in there and maybe Trent. I just think as long-term holds, they are still reliable. The only concern for me on Luis Diaz is a couple of weeks ago after the international break, Arne Slot said, I played Luis Diaz at left wing because he came back from international break looking fitter, but I did plan on playing Gakpo in that position. Now, Gakpo didn't start this game, but that is obviously a little bit of a worry that he knows that Gakpo can play that left wing spot. He's favoured him in the past. He's also playing very well for the Dutch national team. So with a lot of fixtures coming, are we going to see Gakpo get a couple of games starting on that left wing? Are we going to see Darwin getting a couple of games playing up front? When is it going to be Jota? When is it going to be Luis Diaz? So As much as the Luis Diaz points that have gone look very appealing and his performances look really nice, that is what puts me off. Yeah. Now, I still think I would take the punt on trying to squeeze Luis Diaz in there. I'm almost certain that I would have at least him or Trent. I would have one piece of that Liverpool attack. Watching them play games and watching them win 2 or 3 nil at the moment and having none of that in your team just doesn't feel like the most sensible idea and the best long-term plan. So it might boil down that I actually only end up with one, because going for a 7.1 Trent and a Luis Diaz at almost 8 million now might be a little bit too much of a stretch. But I think I'd probably find space for at least one of them in there.
Yeah, you've given me a lot of food for thought there. It does feel wrong going about Trent. I rate him so highly. I mean, 7 mil is cheapest price for 5 years. And as you said, he's top among all defenders for expected goal involvement so far this season. I think he's got more holes in him. So it does feel a bit wrong going about. But basically what it boils down to for me is, if I go Trent, I can't have Palmer. If I go Palmer, I can't have Trent. So that's a big decision. Obviously, there are some other sacrifices I have to make to get Palmer in, because it's a big price difference. But yeah, it's a close one. I could go either way.
Looking at Bournemouth very quickly, you said Semenyo is probably the one that you'll look at. Is there any appeal from anyone else in that team? I wonder about them defensively with their fixtures that they do have coming up. Kirke is at left back, often is very attacking. We all owned Zabani at points during last season very well during some of the double and blank game weeks. He was a bit of a hero for us. But I do look at Kirke as their left back at 4.5 million. They have actually been pretty good this season. I do think this result maybe flatters Liverpool from a goal scoring point slightly. And he actually rotates really well with Mazraoui of Manchester United. That's actually the two 4.5 million options I'd probably go with if I was on wildcard. I agree, Semenyo is definitely the one topping the pile at the moment. Cliver, Tavernier have both been with returns so far this year as well. But it feels like Semenyo on the right wing and Kirke at left back are probably the top two that I'd be looking at.
Yeah, they are tempting for those next two fixtures, yeah. And as you say, they are 4.5 mil. It's either I go for a Bournemouth defender or I go for Colwell, because he's got those two home games. Yeah, it's very close. There's quite a lot of tight calls there. I am looking at Collins as well, because he's also got two home games, West Ham home, Wolves home. There's lots of great 4.5 mil options this season, to be honest with you. Or as we said earlier, for a little bit more, there's Lewis. But if I'm going to go for Lewis, I want to have a decent back five that I can count on just in case he becomes a problem. Yeah. I wouldn't want to go Lewis if I've got, you know, 2 4 mil defenders, maybe even one, because there is that chance that I'll have to call them on in any given game.
Yeah, so that's some of the big games from the weekend. You've mentioned your wild card sporadically throughout. Talk to me about how it's shaping up, but also what are the big decision for you does feel like that Cole Palmer pick at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I'll go through how I'm lined up at the moment, but I will caveat that it's changing a lot. So maybe I'll also mention the players that are locked and, you know, who the peripheral players are. So Raya's a lock. I've got him in goal. And then I've just got Fabianski as a 4 mil backup. Gabriel's a lock. The rest of my defense is super cheap. And this is where I'm a bit worried. It's Collins, Greaves, Colwell, and Mikalenko. Mikalenko's just dropped to 4.3 mil. He only missed the last game because of illness. So I still think he's an interesting one if you really want to eke out as much value as possible, because they've got Palace home, Newcastle home, Ipswich away, Fulham home, Southampton away. I don't need him for the next two. So it's Ipswich, Fulham, Southampton. It could be an interesting one. Yeah. Rodgers is a lock in midfield for me. Mbeumo's a lock. I think Semenyo is going to be a lock. I mean, in terms of shots, I think he might be top or second after yesterday's game for shots taken this season, which puts in perspective. It's him and Haaland, top two. Palmer's not a lock, but I've got him at the moment. And then Saka is a lock. And then up top, I've got Solanke, Haaland, and Wood. Now, Haaland's obviously a lock. It's just Solanke and Wood, really. I'm not sure which way I'll go with those forwards. I'm looking at Calvert-Lewin as well. Or I could go for someone even cheaper like Archer, who's 5 mil. He put up good numbers last game week, but his minutes are all over the place. So, in terms of the core of my team, it'd be Raya, Gabriel, Rodgers, Bumo, Semenyo, Saka, and Haaland. And then the rest still to decide on.
Interesting that Rodgers gets a stay of execution. Do you think that would have been the case if he hadn't have got a 10-pointer this weekend?
I think I would have had him regardless.
Yeah.
Because he's one of those, like, you watch him, he's unbelievable. He's a great ball carrier. He's a great goal threat, and he's been unlucky not to return more, you know, on top of those two assists. So, yeah, he's completely passed the eye test, which for me is something important with FPL decisions as well. I mean, I heavily look at stats. I've mentioned lots of stats throughout this podcast, but, you know, the eye test is important as well. And watching Villa, he's one of their best players. And also in terms of minutes, you know, he's playing the 90 pretty much every game, which is huge.
Yeah.
Those players that are coming off, you know, early around 60 minutes are the worry, because, you know, they might not even make it to 60 minutes to get the, you know, the two clean sheet points. But he's a 90-minute man. And yeah, Emery clearly loves him. So yeah, he's in.
Yeah, so in terms of my team, I'm not on wildcard. I've got Henderson in goal. He's got Everton away this week. I'm still not loving Henderson, but it's an okay fixture. Trent, Gabriel, Porro. I've already confirmed one free transfer. I've got another one to use. I've done Diogo Jota out after he was benched at the weekend and brought in Brian and Bumo, who, as we've said, is going to be very popular going forward with their run of fixtures. Salah, Rodgers, Eze, Smith-Rowe and Haaland and Wood up front. I'm considering taking even a -4, which would be two extra transfers to try and save the wild card for a few more weeks. Salah to Saka is the big transfer that I look at this week. It's not something I necessarily think that Saka is a better buy than Salah with the fixtures that they've got, but it's the 2.5 million or so that it does free up. It would allow me to make big upgrades. I could do Smith-Rowe up to Luis Diaz, for example. I could do Henderson up to David Raya and things like that with my other transfers over the next couple of weeks, which is very appealing, and it would get my team very close to what a potential wildcard team looks like this week. I think the Chris Wood penalty was a big one for me in deciding to try and save it, because suddenly he feels like the forward that a lot of people on wildcard are going to be looking at. So that's maybe one less position that I would be looking to change this week. I think captaincy going into this weekend, very briefly, is quite interesting. I've actually got mine on Erling Haaland, just because of the way Newcastle are looking and the way Manchester City are looking. And even if I go with Salah in my team, or if I go with Saka, at the moment, I still think I'll leave it on Erling Haaland, despite the better fixtures for both of those midfielders.
Yeah, I agree with that. Newcastle defence has looked ropey. You can't go against Haaland when he's averaging two goals a game, right? So I think it's a straightforward one. I mean, Salah, if you were keeping him, would be an option. But I do understand the decision there to sell Salah for Saka in order to free up that second move, such as a Henderson to Raya. Yeah, that's an interesting one. So you're actually looking at a -4 for a keeper there, despite Henderson having a reasonable fixture.
Yeah.
To kind of give you insurance longer term. That's where you're at with your team, is it?
Yeah, it's not necessarily something I'll necessarily do this week, but Henderson has Liverpool in game week 7, so it might be something that I look to do potentially next week. And yeah, as I say, Salah to Saka is not something I necessarily love as a transfer sideways, but it's just what that extra 2.5 or 2.6 million now does for my team elsewhere.
So lots of people listening won't have Haaland, and maybe they can't get to him without a -4. Would you say that's enough grounds to pull the trigger and activate it right now if you didn't have Haaland and you had your wild card?
I think so. I actually really like game week 6 for a wild card. And if you don't have Haaland and you're looking at a -4, if the rest of your team was perfect, then maybe not. But if you are looking at, maybe you want to add another Arsenal defender, you want to add Brian and Bumo in there, maybe you want to add Chris Wood, a few other options in there. I think there's probably enough other things that you might look to change. That game week 6 is a really nice week to wild card. There are going to be some price changes. There's a big fixture swing coming up as well. So if you're looking at even a -4 or a sort of -8 and you want to make more changes on top of that, then yeah, I do think this is a nice week to wildcard.
So that's a quick look at our teams for next game week then. It's another busy midweek of football. Man City, Arsenal, Liverpool, Villa, Newcastle and Chelsea all playing the League Cup midweek, while Spurs and Man United both have their first Europa matches of the season. Unless you're planning to wildcard, it's probably wise to hold those transfers.
If you do want to have a bit more information, don't forget that Jules, Kelly and Sam will be back for the FPL pod later on this week, having a look at game week 6 in a bit more detail, talk about those upcoming fixture swings and maybe the wild card as well.
If you haven't already joined the FPL pod mini league, the code is Q7YCO0.
Thanks for talking, Oscar. It's been good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Thanks for listening, everyone.